Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Well, welcome once again to another Man Talk podcast. Roy couldn't be with us today, but as we always say, you're here. So we're thankful to God that you are with us. And today we want to talk about something that I think we think about periodically, but really not have a deep understanding, that man is a Trinity. Just as God is a Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, man is also a Trinity in that he has a body, soul, and spirit. Now, this is outlined in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23, where God says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because if he called you, he's also able to do it." In other words, he's able to do exactly what he said if we yield to him, if we turn ourselves over to him and let the Holy Spirit use us in a way that glorifies God. He is able to set us apart for that purpose. But we have to understand that there are elements within the Trinity of man, if you will, in the body, soul, and spirit, that prevents us from doing the things that we need to do and to keep us separate so that we can perform our assignment here on earth. When we look at the body, for example, is the gateway. It allows everything to come into your inward man. The body has five senses: the eye gate, the ear gate, the nose, the mouth, touch, taste. It has these gateways. And in these gateways, it just allow you to see things and hear things. And when we see things and hear things, it's going to have an emotional response. So let's start by outlining what the elements are of the soul. The soul consists of, just as the body have five senses, the soul consists of a mind, a will, and emotions. That's what your soul consists of. So in a sense, you have a Trinity in a Trinity. Well, let's take that one step further. The mind, in turn, has a conscious mind, a subconscious mind, and an unconscious mind. And of course, we'll talk about these later. That too is a Trinity. So you have a Trinity of the mind, and then you have a Trinity of the soul, and then you have a Trinity of man. So I thought that was really interesting as I began to do my search in this particular, for this particular verse and this particular topic that we're talking about today, because I don't think that we consider a lot of what we are and how these things relate to decisions, thoughts, processes that we have on a daily basis. So let's look a little deeper into the soul. The soul, as we said, has a mind, a will, and emotions. The will is where all of your choices, decisions, logic, and reason take place. That's where you think about all of the things that you will ultimately decide to do. And God gave you that will. He gave you that will for the purposes of not going against his will. You can go against his will if you choose to, because again, that's where the choices are made. Choices are made in the will. If I will something, that means I'm choosing to do it based on some factor or some feeling that I have, and I'm going to override God if I do it on my own. If I am obedient to the Spirit of God, then I'm going to say, as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Your conscious mind is what makes you aware of all the things around you. So when you see things and you hear things, you know, you see chairs, you see automobiles, you look outside, you see the clouds and the stars at night. So These things elicit a response emotionally from you. If someone cut you off in traffic, all of a sudden, that's going to elicit an emotional response with you. And you're going to have to do something with that information. As the conscious mind makes you aware of what's going on around you, you have your will and you have your subconscious mind sort of working in tandem, because the will is saying, will I decide to reason this thing out and then make a determination on whether or not I'm going to send that information that I just received from the awareness of the conscious to my subconscious mind? And so the subconscious mind now receives that information based on your will, deciding, choosing, or reasoning out whatever it is you want to choose, decide, or reason. Deposit that information into your subconscious. You have a seed. You have a seed planted in you. And when that seed planted in you, it's going to germinate and it's going to grow either for righteousness or for unrighteousness' sake. That's the process. The eyes, ears receive that information. Number two, the conscious mind makes you aware of the things that's going on around you. Three, your will starts to decide and reason what it is that you want to deposit into your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind at that point now sends that information on to your spirit, and your spirit then has to do something with that information. It just doesn't sit there forever. So your spirit, after the subconscious sends that to your spirit says, this is ungodly or this is godly. I can use this, because that's where the regeneration process takes place. It takes place in your spirit. When you are regenerated and become born again in a new man, that is where it occurs. So your spirit is going to say, yes, this is good, or no, this is bad information. This is not of God. Rebuke this in the name of Jesus and get it out of your system. In the scripture talks about conscious. So we're not just making up conscious mind, subconscious mind, unconscious mind. We're not just making these things up. God has the word conscious all through the scripture. And when you look at that word, C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, conscious, the prefix con means with, the suffix science means knowledge. So that means that you and I do everything with knowledge. We have some knowledge that we have taken hold of, and we're going to use that information that we've taken in to make some type of decision. You don't do things just arbitrarily or willy-nilly or just because you can. There is some deciding factor that makes you do what you do. You can look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. You can look into Titus chapter 1, verse 15. You can look into 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. You can look into 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. All of these places you'll find the word conscience, con science, with knowledge. All right. So once that information now enters in through these gateways and you have decisions that you need to make on them, now that's going to determine how you grow in the Bible or in the Word or in Jesus Christ, or how you suppress that growth. Because see, we can do that, you and I. We can say, okay, I understand that this knowledge is good and my spirit can benefit from it. But then I can choose to say, well, the feelings that the body has for this information is greater and it's going to give me immediate gratification. So I'm just going to go with the body because it feels good. See, don't let feelings drive you to make inappropriate or illegitimate decisions. The feelings that you and I have, God gave us those feelings. But those feelings that we have need to be legitimate and not used for illegitimate purposes. We have to understand that, because if we don't, then we allow ourselves to make inappropriate decisions, which in turn will it'll increase, if you will, the impact of our spirit, whether or not it's going to grow in God or it's not growing God. all of this is happening at nanoseconds. It's happening so fast within your inner man that you make thousands of decisions in a 24-hour period. Even when you are asleep, your subconscious mind does not sleep. It's still in there thinking, dreaming about things that perhaps you may have to do on the next day or things that you have done that you need to repent of. All of this, saints of God, is what we need to understand and do. We are coming up on a break right now, but we hope that you are gaining knowledge from this particular message on the Trinity of Man. It's so important to us that we understand what parts of man is influencing what we do. And we're thankful to God that you're here listening, and we hope that you're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we will be back right after this break.
Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry would like to invite you to our monthly men's breakfast, held every first, third, and fifth Friday of each month. You enjoy fun fellowship in the Word of God as we break bread together. The meetings are held at First Christian Church, 1130 North Main Street, Kernersville, North Carolina. We start promptly at 6:30 a.m. and have a hard stop at 8 o'clock a.m. Come join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
And we are coming back once again, talking about the Trinity of Man. And so we've been talking and giving you some general understanding on exactly what the Trinity of Man is in the three parts. The Spirit, as we said, is where you and I are converted, our spirit man. So again, we are spirit in a body with a soul. Now, where can we find that? We can find that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, where it says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground," that's body, "he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life," that's spirit, "and man became a living soul," that's soul. That's where your will, your mind, and emotions will dwell. God gave us these freedoms, but he also gave them for the purpose of glorifying him. So now let's look at some verses, because we've been talking about the general things of what the mind and what the emotions do and what the will does. So let's see what the Word of God says. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart," or guard your heart, "with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life." When you look at the word heart, in these particular verses that I'm going to give you, it refers back in Hebrew to the word lev, L-E-V. And what that word does is it looks at not just the fleshly heart of man pumping blood, but it looks at the totality of man's being, who he is, where he thinks, what he decides. All that has to do with that subconscious and conscious mindset. So the Hebrew word, unlike the English word, we use the word heart where it comes to and involves some type of emotional response. Oh, I love you from my heart, or my heart is filled with joy, things like this. But when we talk about, when the Hebrews talk about the word heart, they're looking at it from the standpoint of the whole man and not just a feeling or some type of emotion. Out of your conscience, out of your heart, comes all the issues. We say, why heart? It is because from the heart is where you decide. It's where you reason. It's where you make decisions. Whatever it is you decide to do, that's going to have an impact on not only you, but people around you. So this is from the standpoint that God is blessing through Solomon to record this particular passage in Proverbs 4 and 23. So we have to understand that it's more than just us when it comes to how things are affected based on the decisions that we make because of the information that we are allowing our awareness to take in. You just can't be all of a sudden out here doing things that's not glorifying the Lord God. God said again through Solomon in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, he said, "As a man thinks in his heart," there that word heart again, "as he thinks in your subconscious mind, that's who you are. You are that individual that thinks in your conscious and subconscious mind, this is who you become. This is what shapes your character. This is what determines what type of man, woman, boy, or girl you are. It's what comes out of your heart, that conscious, that seed, the seeds that you're planting in there. Be careful on what you get in there. This is why the Lord God blessed Solomon to say what he did. Keep your heart guarded against certain things that you don't want to be deposited down in there. And see, when you do this, then you're faithful to God. In Galatians 5:17, it says, walk after the Spirit so you don't do the works of the flesh. You're not walking after the flesh. You can't do both of them at the same time. You can't walk after the Spirit and you can't walk after the flesh. You have to walk after one or the other. And when you do that, then what happens is you're walking in a way that's not pleasing God, or you're going to walk in a way that will please God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. God says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That particular verse, we want to inject it right now, because what we want to do is come back and talk about Jesus Christ's role when it comes to you and I, and how information comes within our conscious and subconscious mind. So we want to just give you that verse, but understand that we're going to talk about it on another broadcast, so that you can get the understanding on what external factors affect the decisions that you and I make on a daily basis. He says in Proverbs again, verse 2 and 10, he said, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So again, there's this clear distinction between your conscious and what the conscious mind possesses, and ultimately is going to affect your soul, which has where you make your decisions, your choices. So it's going to have all this effect. It goes along with what we read in Proverbs 4 and 23 about guarding the heart, because whatever you get in there is ultimately what's going to come out of you. Jesus said in Mark 4 and 24, he says, take heed on what you hear. Now that is so important. Take heed on what you hear. Now, why didn't Jesus say, take heed on what you see, take heed on what you taste, take heed on what you touch, take heed on what you feel? Oh, he said, take heed on what you hear. Now, there is a reason why he said, take heed on what you hear, because what you hear determines what type of faith you're going to allow to enter in. Because in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whatever it is you hear again and see, it's going to have an effect and elicit some response for you and I. Don't let seeds of ungodliness and bitterness enter into your spirit. Don't be driven by emotion. And see, if you understand how the soul works in conjunction with the body and spirit, and this is what we're giving you today, you can be equipped to have information to safeguard you against any outside forces. And when we talk about forces, we're talking about the prince of the power of the air. And we know that Satan is, and his minions are ready and able to start feeding your mind different thoughts and emotions to get you to respond out of your character in which God has developed you to be. And when you do that, then instead of you being set apart unto God, now you're coming right back and allowing yourself to be engulfed with the same things that God has freed you from. And this freedom from sin and all, and serving sin and all of what it has to do to bring us down. We don't want to be brought back to the same mud hole where we were before, waddling in the mud. We don't want to be that individual who feels safe and secure in the pit, if you will. We want to be free from that, serving God, letting our light be shine, We talked about in the man's breakfast the other day, we said that just like the moon is what we are, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. It reflects the light of the S-U-N. We are reflectors of the light of the S-O-N. And we need to understand that, that when Jesus said, take heed on what you hear. And then he went on to say in that same verse in Mark 4:24, he said, because with the same measure you use, it shall be measured to you. And the person who hears what Jesus has to say, hears what the apostles have to say, he said, more will be given. But see, there's a flip side, that if you don't hear, then that which you have heard in reference to the gospel, it's going to be taken away, Jesus said in the next verse. And the reason why that is because you're not using it. If you don't use what you have, you will lose what you have. Don't be a loser of anything that God has given you for the purposes of standing strong and being able to present the gospel to the lost in a clear and concise manner, because God is able to do all things. The mouth, we just take food and drink into our mouth. When we look at the body, we're just stuffing our face with food. Now, Jesus said it's not what goes into a man, but what comes out of a man. So what comes out of the man's heart or his subconscious mind determines who that man is. He says in Matthew 12 and verse 34, he says that from the abundance of your heart, there's the word heart again, your mouth speaks. So whatever in your subconscious mind is what you're going to speak out through your mouth. All of this we have to get, saints of God, because it's the gateways of your body, of what you see, hear, taste, touch, feel, is ultimately is what's going to condemn you. Because when you are made aware of it in that conscious mind, you can still say, whoa, wait a minute. This is ungodly. I'm going to rebuke this in the name of Jesus. But once your will starts processing that and says, let's decide on what we are going to do based on what the conscious mind has sent us, I have a choice to make. That will, that's where choices, reasons, decisions are made. And so now you're deciding to take this thing in. Bam! All of a sudden, deposited into that subconscious mind. We want to make sure you get this. This is why we are putting emphasis on what goes in. Because what goes in ultimately has to come out. And so what form is it going to come out on? How is it going to come out? Is what going to come out your mouth going to glorify God? Or is it going to glorify yourself? Is it going to be a thing that God says, this is in the time when you and I pass from this life to the next? Will God say, this is my son? Just as he said to Jesus Christ, come enter in to the heavenly kingdom, because now you will take your rest. All of us, saints of God, we're going to have to lay our head down one day. We're going to have to stand before the mighty King of Kings. And see, we want to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne. That's a message in and of itself. But today, we just want you to understand that there are things that you and I have to do in order to protect ourselves. The battle that we face on each and every day is in the mind. When we talk about the mind, as Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And of course, in Romans 12 and 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape you, but be transformed. In other words, go through the metamorphosis stage, just like that caterpillar goes into a stage to become a butterfly. God wants you to soar. He wants you to soar high above your circumstances, soar high above your situations, so that you don't become captive once again to the things of this world that God has freed you from. This is the testament of what God wants to do in and through us, coming out of your mouth. So when God does things, he does things for reason and a purpose. God just doesn't do things to be doing them. He does it for a reason. He does it for a purpose. Now, when he talked about in Proverbs 2:10 that the wisdom would enter your heart, knowledge would enter, would be pleasant to your soul. It'll be pleasant if we listen. But I want to make this one last verse that I want to talk about before we end the broadcast. Proverbs 11:30. If you have your Bible, turn over there where it says the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. See, righteous fruit is what you want to deposit in your inward spirit. And when righteous fruit is deposited in your inward spirit, then what happens is you begin to display good fruit to the people who are looking at your life. People don't want to look at a tree and find an apple or a pear or a peach with a worm in it. We're not going to pay for worm fruit. We want fruit that's pleasant to our sight, pleasant to us. Then he goes on to say something that's really, 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 really good. He that wins souls is wise. Saints of God, the war is taking place for your soul and my soul. The battle occurs every day in your mind when you get up and your feet hit the floor. This is where the battle. So each battle that we are engaged in on a daily basis, we know we have to renew our mind, and we know we have to let our mind become the mind of Christ. In other words, think like Christ thought. Do what Christ did. Be patient as Christ was patient. Learn to have an understanding with people even when that person is out of character, or they may have some ought or be upset with you. Don't allow emotions to drive your decisions. Let the things that God have blessed you to put in your inward spirit to be a success to your life. He who wins souls is wise. Satan is after your soul. That's ultimately the war that's going to take place. But you and I need to win every battle so that we can ultimately win the war. And the war is over for us. We are already victorious in Jesus Christ. We just have to live it out. We're ending the broadcast now, and we just want to thank God for you. And hopefully that all of these things that we're giving you are basically beneficial to your soul. We will see you again on the next Man Talk podcast. God bless you, and we love you. As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.